You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say? What the heck is repartee?
Quick, witty banter. Quick, something that's not going to be your commute tonight.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Paget, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
And today it is Brett Johnson on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and it is not going to be a fun commute. Hopefully you're hunkered down in your car right now if you're driving home, because you are not going anywhere fast at all. Whew, I'm not looking forward to that commute home. You at least have, I guess you still go with traffic. I was going to say you commute home to Chaska, but boy, you're still going home with everyone that's still driving from Minneapolis, aren't
you? It usually dies down by here, though, but... I still might stay here a little longer just to let it,
because
it's going to be backed up today.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the same thing as well. I think I have to go home up 494 in Eden Prairie up through Minnetonka. That's going to be a joyous commute, so I think I'll be working on some things here at the station this evening. The commute has been brutal. Matt McNeil took a while to get in here. In fact, even our guest who's supposed to be on at 4:05, Senator Steve Swadzinski, has run into that traffic nightmare. You're not getting anywhere fast today, but hopefully we're going to have Senator Swadzinski on in studio a little bit later on the program. Once people figure out how to drive in the snow, that's what drives me nuts, Hunter, about winter driving, is that if we get snow like this where it's not necessarily icy, everyone just completely forgets how to drive. It's a pet peeve of mine. If we get freezing rain, yeah, then take a little bit slow. Even in snow, yeah, take it slow. But you don't need to be going down a freeway at 20 miles an hour.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
Well, today...
Are you going to take me to task on that?
Today kind of is the perfect storm, though, because everything just turned to ice yesterday, and then the snow is now covering it.
The roads weren't bad at all this morning, though.
The highways weren't bad.
Okay.
But the streets, they're pretty rough.
I can buy that, the streets being rough, but 494 was completely clear for me. I was able to go my usual, I won't name the speed down the road, in case the State Patrol is listening, but I had no trouble getting on in here, so I don't know, that just annoys me every time we get snow, how people go way too slow. Now, granted, I get you'd need to go slower when it does snow, that's obvious, but you don't need to be going 15 or 20 down the freeway. I feel like people just kind of lose all control when they get snow outside.
Yeah, well, whatever people think is safe for them. It's not something you want to chance on the fast side.
Well, I mean, you don't want to be going 75 down the freeway right now. Obviously, that's not going to be a good idea. But my rule of thumb is don't go slow in the left lane. I don't care what you do in the center lane or the right lane. You can go however fast you want, but leave that left lane open. It's another, it's kind of a Brett's grievances today here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. But that thoroughly annoys me when you have the left lane and someone going super slow, sometimes even slower than the center or the right lane. I mean, come on, just move over. The left lane was for faster moving traffic. Go as how slow you want in that center or that right lane. So there you go. Be safe out there when you're commuting. As I said, you don't need to go 75 down the freeway, but just be smart when you drive. You don't necessarily need to be going 15 or 20 down the freeway. And I bet I already got a caller taking me to task on this one. Brett encouraging people to drive dangerously during the snowstorm we get outside. By the way, they're saying we're supposed to get about 2 to 4 inches of snow this evening, or at least by the end of this snowstorm, before we have another one that's supposed to hit us up coming up on Wednesday, when I think we're supposed to be getting another 1 to 3 inches of snow. So certainly some joyous weather we are getting outside. And Thursday and Friday, it's supposed to get awfully cold. But I get to go to California on Friday to my parents' winter home.
Right.
Yeah.
You are escaping at the best time.
I am escaping at the best time indeed. Hey, by the way, we got Laura calling in. Hey, it's actually Laura Headland of Food Freedom Radio talking about traffic. Uh-oh, Laura, are you taking me to task on what I was saying about traffic?
Okay, I'm at 1 hour and 4 minutes to go. I'm on 62 and almost 62 and 32. It's total gridlock out here.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the roads are total 100% gridlock. It is time to be safe. Mm-hmm. I have fortunately found someone to do my errand that I'm on my way to, and I am now going to stop and stop driving.
Yeah.
So I feel grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I said, you don't need to be going 75, obviously. That's going to be causing some problems.
Yeah, but, you know, going two or three would be nice. My average speed
is
8 miles an hour. It's better than I thought.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you're saying it's pretty bad. Well, that's no surprise. It's always bad on 494, no matter what time of day, isn't it?
Yes, at this time is total 100% gridlock.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's got to be awfully tough. Hey, by the way, Laura, we're going to be hearing a report from you a little bit later on in the program if you want to give us a little bit preview on what happened.
Yeah, I'll give a little preview because there was actually a kind of an interesting thing happened at Minneapolis City Council this afternoon. You know, a group of activists are really asking the city to be aspirational with the Upper Harbor. And the Upper Harbor is 48 acres with 1 mile of riverfront. Now, 48 acres with 1 mile of riverfront is something that any city would just be so... I mean, it's really precious that we have that space, that they're now... that's open space. It was an industrial space. And what the activists want the city to do is to really think about, how do we have regenerative economics? How do we create equity? How do we offer truly affordable housing? How do we do something that's remarkable, that's aligned with climate justice and aligned with our aspirations? And so the city council did vote, they did decide today to postpone their concept plan. And the concept plan had called for a private hotel, it called for performance stadium type thing, but the roads are fairly bad here, so I should probably stay on driving.
Okay.
But I do have that report coming up, and we'll talk about it all this week on Food Freedom Radio.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to go into much more detail about that property and the whole area that they're trying to redevelop along the riverfront coming up this Saturday, 8 until 9 a.m. on Food Freedom Radio. All right, Laura, I will let you get back to the road. Hopefully everything goes smoothly on your way back east on 494.
Okay.
All right, thanks
so
Laura. Yep. Yeah, again, Laura with Food Freedom Radio. We're going to be talking about, as someone who doesn't live in Minneapolis, Hunter, I know you don't either. I'm not necessarily following what's happening along this riverfront property and kind of area in Minneapolis, but I know there's been a lot of controversy on this area they're trying to develop down there. Some people think they're trying to gentrify the area, which has, of course, a lot of negative aspects. So Laura's going to tell us more about that with a special Food Freedom Report. We'll probably have that coming your way around 4:45 or 4:50. Then we'll have a full report on that. In fact, an entire show on that coming up this Saturday at 8 a.m. on Food Freedom Radio.
I actually was down and I saw the area that's in question. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. And it is a big question. What do you do with that area? Because that is some prime real estate right along the river in an urban area. It's something you should spend some time figuring out. What exactly do you want to do with that area, if anything, by the way. So Laura's going to tell us more about that with our Food Freedom Report coming up about 4:45 or 4:50. And then we will also have Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. Well, actually, this Saturday at 8 a.m., Laura will be interviewing a number of people who have been involved with that project. So question for you. Are you going to be watching the State of the Union tonight, Hunter?
Oh, of course I am.
You are?
Yeah. You're not going to?
No, I haven't watched a State of the Union in probably 5 or 6 years. Even if it's Obama, a Democrat, or a Republican like Donald Trump, I just don't feel like anything gets accomplished in the State of the Union address. It's just talking about what you want to accomplish. One side, whichever side the president on, will say it's the greatest speech of all time. The opposite side will say it's the worst speech I ever had. I just don't feel like anything really comes of the State of the Union address.
You're absolutely right, but a spectacle is not beneath me.
I still love what you said as well when Nancy Pelosi invited Donald Trump to the State of the Union address. You caught that verbiage there, invited him, as if Donald Trump needs Nancy Pelosi's permission to attend the State of the Union address. He didn't catch on to that. I thought he might and say, well, I want it on February 4th or February 6th because I want to be the one who decides when the State of the Union. But maybe that verbiage was just beyond his understanding because, as we know, Donald Trump kind of has the attention span of a fly, being that he has his executive time, I believe 60% of the time is what the New York Times was reported the other day. How do you spend over half your time just as executive time? I couldn't do that at my current job right now here at AM 950. I couldn't tell Jad, you know, I'm going to spend 75% of my time as executive time. What I do during that time, that's a secret. but it's just executive time where I can do whatever I want. If you were to pull that off at any job, you would be fired in a heartbeat. So, yeah, we'll have to figure out what happens with that State of the Union tonight. I'm probably not going to watch it. The only reason I might is in case Donald Trump maybe has some sort of meltdown. You know, he can be a little loose with the words sometimes when he has those speeches, and especially if he has to speak for over an hour, maybe the attention span could catch up to him. But that is the delayed State of the Union address taking place tonight, just a little over a week before another potential government shutdown. We'll be interested to see if he starts to hint at possibly declaring a national emergency to get his border wall declared along the southern border. That's what I think he is going to do, because I for sure do not think he can afford to have another government shutdown, since his approval rating has dropped a good 3 to 4 percentage points since that government shutdown. And initially, I thought when they reopened the government, his approval rating might start to tick back up. But it's pretty much been consistent, at least among the 538 aggregator, right around 39 to 40%. I would have thought it would have ticked back up to his usual 42 to 43%, where he has been for a little over the past year or so. 952-946-6205 if you have any thoughts on the State of the Union address. By the way, before we head to break, a number of the guests that have been invited to the State of the Union by our Democratic representatives come from a wide variety of backgrounds. Representative Ilhan Omar, of course, the newly elected representative in CD5, she is a former refugee from Somalia, and she has invited a Liberian refugee named Linda Clark, who is now at risk of deportation as soon as the end of March because Trump has removed Liberian Americans from the program under which Clark has been allowed to stay in the U.S., so she is going to be a guest at the State of the Union tonight. Senator Tina Smith, newly elected after defeating her Republican opponent Karen Housley during the last election, she is actually going to be hosting our current lieutenant governor. That is Peggy Flanagan, who is the nation's highest-ranking Native American woman ever elected to executive office, and that still absolutely surprises me that it took until 2018 for a lieutenant governor to be the highest elected Native American to public office. You think we would have had a senator or at least a governor elected to public office at that time or by this time. Also, Angie Craig, who is a new member of the House Ag Committee, she has invited a farmer by the name of Katie Brenny, probably representing the ag industry since those Trump tariffs have hurt a lot of farmers. And Senator Amy Klobuchar will be joined by Nicole Smith-Holt, whose son died from diabetes complications because he struggled to afford his insulin prescription. And later on in the program, I want to get a little bit more into insulin since United Healthcare, a private health insurance company, is actually limiting your choices. You would think a free market and private health insurance would expand your choices, but they're doing the exact opposite in terms of your insulin choices. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. 952-946-6205. Let's go to Brad in Robbinsdale before we get to the break. Hey there, Brad. How you doing?
Okay, well, I'm really looking forward to Trump going off script, but what I'm really looking forward to is the rebuttal by Stacey Abrams. And I mean, I would really hope that she would actually have a video presentation where they show scenes from that Hollywood movie where they have women in duct tape, you know, hotshot automobiles running around the desert and prayer rugs, and then just ask the American public, how can you tolerate having a do-nothing toddler in the White House who doesn't even know the difference between reality and fiction?
Yeah. Hey, thanks very much for the call there, Brad. And yeah, I forgot to bring that up. Stacey Abrams, I believe, giving the Democratic rebuttal. Hopefully we'll do a better job than, as Trump calls them, Chuck and Nancy, who kind of looked like that one farm portrait. Oh, what's the name of that portrait I'm thinking of? Do you know the name of it, Hunter?
God, I remember. I did this.
Yeah. So hopefully she'll do a better job, but I'm confident she will. I love Stacey Abrams. She's a great politician. I believe she will be giving the Democratic rebuttal tonight after the State of the Union. 952-946-6205. We'll take your calls, hopefully be joined by Senator Steve Swaczynski when he's able to get through this nasty snowstorm and all of this traffic outside. It is brutal outside if you're out there driving. Do be careful, but don't go slow in the left lane, please. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive, Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll be back after the break.
This is Jennifer Ogren, account executive at AM 950, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Do you or someone you know need dental care but can't afford it? Join Shamblatt Family Dentistry for their 13th annual Dentistry from the Heart event, a day of free dentistry for those in need. All patients will be seen on a first-come, first-served basis. No appointment required. Dentistry from the Heart provides free, limited dental care to those in need. This event is for new patients only. Shamblatt Family Dentistry has given away more than $320,000 in free dentistry through Dentistry from the Heart. The 13th annual event will take place on Wednesday, February 13th at Shamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and in their new St. Paul location at 400 Selby Avenue in the Blair Arcade. Starting at 7 a.m., Dr. Shamblatt and his team will treat as many patients as possible. It's first come, first served, so patients should arrive early. For more information about this opportunity for free dental care, visit ShamblattFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman, and this Valentine's Day, I want you to stop at Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park. Jimmy and Helene Pessis have created a family atmosphere where generations of Twin City customers have made it their jewelry store. At Continental Diamond, you can shop without pressure because no one works on commission. In addition to the outstanding selection of jewelry and watches, on Valentine's Day only, they'll be hosting R.J. Kramer Flowers and L'Amour Chocolates for those last-minute shoppers. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
American Gothic, that was the name. You got about, what, 18 callers letting you know it was American Gothic?
And I remembered it right when we got to the break.
Thank you very much.
Tip of my tongue, and I couldn't get it out.
I was just thinking as we went to the break, great, Hunter's going to get about 38 phone calls saying American Gothic, because that's our listeners. We have very educated listeners here at AM 950. Hey, by the way, Senator Steve Swazinski, if you're listening, that's my fault for flooding our phone lines, not knowing the name of that painting, American Gothic. We may have missed your call, so if you were trying to call in, feel free to give us a ring back. Otherwise, hopefully you're having a not too rough a time commuting here to the station here at AM 950. Big news day today. We have that special election taking place in Senate District 11 to decide whether we have a 35-32 Republican majority or just a 34-33 Republican majority. That special election takes place today. If you have anyone that lives up just a little bit south of Duluth along 35 is kind of the best way to say 11, make sure they go out and vote today, even though they are probably experiencing some nasty weather. It is a special election and is a huge election because a one-seat majority for the Republicans or a three-seat majority for the Republicans definitely is significant in terms of what types of legislation we could get passed during this session that we have right now. Could be the difference if we see some sort of reform in terms of restoring voting rights for felons. Also could be the difference and if we get some sort of marijuana legalization. So if you have anyone who lives just south of the Duluth area along 35, tell them to vote in Senate District 11. That's a very interesting district, by the way. Senate District 11 has the A portion, which represents kind of the northern area of the district, which is very Democratic-leaning, versus the B portion, which is the more southern area of that district along 35, which is much more Republican. So seeing those voter turnouts is going to be interesting tonight on the Secretary of State's website to see who ends up winning that special election to determine who will be going to the state legislature. Again, the reason why we're having that special election is that the former senator, Tony Lowry, was selected to another office by Governor Tim Wahl. So his son, Stu Lowry, is running for that seat on behalf of the DFL against the Republican Jason Rarick, who is currently a state representative. By the way, an interesting aspect, the Duluth News Tribune actually endorsed the Republican Jason Rarick because he supposedly had more union support, even though, as I was looking at the website along with Matt McNeil, our 3 o'clock host, it looked like the DFL or Stu Lowry actually had more DFL support. But anyways, make sure you tell people to go out and vote in SD11. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Should have open phone lines once we get towards the end of the hour. But right now we do have Senator Steve Swaczynski joining us from the road. Hey, Steve, how you doing right now? Senator Swaczynski, are you braving that snowstorm?
Yeah, both hands are on the wheel. So I just wanted to make sure I tell my listeners that, your listeners.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well,
which is very key because right now we've seen proposals to have bills for hands-free driving, which have been going through the state legislature. So definitely want to make sure you are hands-free as well there, Senator Swaczynski.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was just listening to you about the and Matt's show, because I've been in the car now for about an hour and a half.
Wow, has it been that long?
About the union.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, has it been that long commuting back from St. Paul, an hour and a half? That's nuts.
It's an hour and a half right now. I left St. Paul at about 2:55. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm about 5 minutes away from your studio. So I was listening to your show, though, and it was interesting, and Matt's show. So I was door knocking for Stu on Sunday with Matt Little, senator from Lakeville, and we get to this house, and the guy comes to the door, and he goes, yeah, I'm a strong union guy. I voted union my whole life. I believe in the unions. And we sat there nodding, and okay, great. And we walked away, and we never asked him if he was voting for Lowry or Rarick, because we just, you know, assumed if he's a union guy, he's a DFLer. And I think that's a new phenomenon for the state, for sure, that not all union people are supporting the DFL party. And we just kind of laughed about it as we got to the next house. We just assumed he was a Democrat, so we never even asked him if he was voting Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
So, interesting times.
It is interesting because I know we have a couple of union callers who are actually Republicans that, are in unions, but they actually vote Republican. So it is interesting with that dynamic that has happened over the past few years that even though union members typically vote DFL, which they should because pretty much the entire platform I see with Republicans is that they want to end unions, whether they're public or private, but yet we still see a lot of Republicans voting or union members of voting Republican, I should say. So, Senator Swaczynski, I want to talk about this special election in SD11 because, as I was saying, you're a member of the state Senate, and this election has major consequences because the difference between having that 3-seat Republican majority versus a 1-seat Republican majority certainly has a lot of impacts on how legislation could get passed or not passed in the Senate. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Having being in a minority by one vote is a big difference than if it ends up being two votes or three, as you said. So, yeah, it'll just make Democrats' jobs a little bit tougher. It's kind of, I think a lot of the suburban Republicans after the last election maybe had maybe on some key issues might vote, you know, with Democrats, but one would, but not probably two or three. So this 1-seat majority, if in fact Stu does win, which I think he will, then we have us 34-33. We're in the minority by one. So
Senator Swaczynski, going back to something we were talking about earlier in this show, I want to know from your background as being a former government teacher, Are you planning on, A, watching the State of the Union tonight? And if you were still a government teacher, what would you be telling your students to watch for this evening?
Well, that's a great question, and yes, I am watching it. My wife and I, the tradition for probably, 35 years, make a bowl of popcorn and watch the State of the Union address. And, of course, when the kids were home, they maybe rolled their eyes that, why do we have to do this? But, you know, I just kind of thought it was my civic duty to make my kids watch the State of the Union address. And so if, in fact, I was in the classroom today, I'd probably begin, we'd go to Article 2 of the Constitution and point out where it says the president shall from time to time give to the Congress information regarding the State of the Union. And then I would say that cute little anecdote about my family. And then I would ask, you know, why is it important that Americans tune in to the when the leader of the free world gets his or maybe someday her opportunity to address Congress before, before millions of people. And I just think, we owe it as Americans to tune into the, regardless of the party, you know, to watch him and someday, like I said, her, talk to us about the State of the Union and what they're going to tell us they want to get done. And I think it's interesting. I heard this morning that he was bringing in an 8-year-old boy or something that was bullied because he had the same last name. So anyway, that's who Trump's guest is what I heard, but I don't know if it's accurate.
That'll be interesting.
That's what I would be talking about.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, because as we were talking about, some of the Minnesota Democrats, members of the congressional delegation, are bringing in their own guests. And, of course, the president usually brings their own guests as well. Hey, Senator Swasinski, can you hang with us during the break here? Because we got to take one right now and love to talk more about some Minnesota political issues with you on the other side. Great.
Yeah. Maybe I'll make it a half a mile by then.
Yeah, exactly. It is brutal out there. Wow, an hour and a half.
All right.
And only from St. Paul all along 494. Yeah, it is not fun out there. 952-946-6205. We'll continue our conversation with Senator Swasinski after our legislative update. This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with House Speaker Melissa Hortman. Each day we'll check in with Speaker Hortman to find out what's going on at the state legislature.
What would you say is your biggest difference between how you approach the speakership and Kirk Doubt's, a former speaker's, approach?
Well, I think that the power vote belongs in the individual members, because each member of the Minnesota House of Representatives represents a population of 39,500 people. And so the 5.5 million people of Minnesota did not elect me to speaker. Each block of 39,500 sent their state representative here to represent them and do the work. And I really think we need to have a leadership style that respects the role of individual legislators to bring their community's concerns forward and to participate in the lawmaking. I don't think we need four guys or five guys and one lady in the back room cooking up the whole deal at the end of session. I think the responsible use of power is to elevate the voices of the people, and that is by elevating the roles of individual state representatives. So that means use the committee process, have open hearings, provide notice to the public ahead of time so they can show up and participate. So I would say we've really let the sunshine in here at the state capitol.
That was your daily legislative update on AM 950 with House Speaker Melissa Hortman. Each day we'll check in with Speaker Hortman to find out what's going on at the state legislature.
Hey humans, this is me, Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Ta-da! I'm putting on another Gray Area Thinking Human Inclusivity Training, and I want you to come. It will be at Open Book on Washington Avenue in Minneapolis on Saturday, March 16th from noon to 2 p.m. You can learn more or buy tickets by Googling Eventbrite Gray Area Thinking or by going to the Human is Human page on my website at elliekrug.com. Again, this is on Saturday, March 16th. See you there!
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, snow before 9 p.m., low around 11. Wednesday, chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 23. And Thursday, snow likely, temperature falling to about 14.
This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week is Cafe Latte. Their gourmet cafeteria has an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Desserts available whole or by the slice. On Victoria and Grand in St. Paul, details at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Reep-Bip-Bop-Dip-Bip-Doo, right here on AM 950.
It's Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas on the repartee today here on AM 950, joined by Senator Steve Swazinski, representing areas of Eden Prairie and Minnetonka. Thanks, Senator Swazinski, for holding over the break. Were you able to move more than, like, maybe a quarter of a mile?
I think you're pretty accurate there, so maybe a quarter mile.
Yeah.
A half.
Maybe a half. Okay. Well, then you're making good progress if it's a half mile, but wow,
yeah.
It is certainly brutal out there. Hey, speaking of driving, I wanted to bring up a proposal that's being brought through the Senate right now. It's FF75, sponsored by Senator Dave Osmek. He's a Republican from Mound. That would do a number of things in terms of requiring hands-free driving and making sure people aren't on cell phones and not paying attention to the road. One of the things that would do would increase penalties for texting while driving from a penalty misdemeanor to a misdemeanor with a tiered fine structure. The bill would also make it so if a driver uses a cell phone that's not in hands-free mode while driving and gets in a fatal crash, the driver would actually be guilty of a crime, where the penalties will be the same if you had been drinking and driving, as that was something Osmek explained back on January 23rd. And then it would also require information on distracted driving to be included in driver's education courses and in the driver's manual. So this is an interesting bill to me, because as I think about texting and driving right now, I'll fully admit I've texted and have been driving before, occasionally when I've needed to answer a text. Unfortunately, I have been guilty of that. Hunter, have you done that every once in a while, or don't you want to admit to anything on the air?
I can neither confirm nor deny that claim.
Confirm nor deny. But Senator Swazinski, as I hear about this, though, it would seem to me these seem like pretty stiff fines and penalties that I don't think I would be texting and driving anymore. What's your position on this bill, and how do you feel about texting and driving and the prospects of this getting through the Senate?
Yeah, you know, I think it's got a pretty good shot. Mm-hmm. I think as recently as 2 years ago, Senator Carlson brought up a hands-free bill without the penalties that Osmek's bill has, and it almost passed, but it didn't. And I think what I really truly believe is two quick things. I think we're going to be, our grandkids are someday going to look at us and go, you guys used to text and drove 50 miles an hour? What were you guys thinking? Just like drinking and driving today. My 20-year-old kid, millennials just don't drink and drive. Mm-hmm. And because they just know it's not safe. It's bad for for distracted driving. And I think that's where we're headed with respect to cell phone texting while driving. And the penalties do seem a little bit extreme, but honestly, if we save one life because a driver's not distracted because they're worried about the punishment, then I think it was worthwhile. And maybe the punishments will never have to be enacted because everybody will put their cell phones in hands without using them while they drive. So I guess that's my two cents.
Yeah, and I agree with that as well, because as I've admitted to before, I've texted and driven before, and I sit there and think, well, you know, maybe you get a couple. I mean, I don't consciously think this in my mind, but I think, well, you know, what are the chances of a cop seeing me? And if I got caught, what is it, a couple $100s? But then, and as you look at these penalties, yeah, it would certainly deter you from texting and driving, especially that aspect of that bill where you could face similar penalties as to drinking and driving. So certainly will be interesting to see what happens in that bill as it makes its way through the Senate. Another issue I wanted to talk to you about, Senator Swazinski, is the legalization of marijuana, because there is an interesting dynamic of this bill where generally among House DFLers, this has a lot and a lot of support. But the Senate is a more interesting place because the majority leader, Paul Gazelka, has, for the most part, come out against marijuana legalization. But the one thing that could throw a wrench into possibly denying this bill is Senator Scott Jensen, who, by the way, represents you, Hunter, over there in the Chaska-Chanhassen area. Mm-hmm. And he's actually someone who's very much in favor of marijuana legalization. So what sorts of actions do you hope the Senate could take and should take, if any? Because I kind of feel like, and this is true on both the DFL and the Republican side, where a lot of people feel like, well, maybe we should just legalize marijuana, but is it actually a huge priority that we should be putting through and giving a lot of time to? Because I kind of felt that same way about the legalization of Sunday liquor sales, something I completely agreed with, but thought, well, there's probably bigger issues. We should just get this out of the way and move on. Well, what are your thoughts on the legalization of marijuana and how that could make its way through the Senate?
Yeah, you know, I think leadership in the House and the Senate feel exactly what you just said about that there's bigger issues mm-hmm. Before us, and that, you know, how may it look if all of a sudden we get marijuana legalized and yet we don't make our roads, our infrastructure's not taken care of, our school counselor ratios aren't taken care of, our opioid crisis skyrockets. And we missed the opportunity to solve some of these pretty important and pressing issues, but we legalized marijuana. So there's an optic and that maybe doesn't look very good to many Minnesotans. My position on marijuana, as recently as 3-4 months ago, God, both sides had such mm-hmm. good arguments for both articulate and well thought out and well reasoned. But for some reason, maybe about 3 months ago, like I said, I think I got pushed over the edge. And if I had to vote on it today, I would vote to legalize it. But God, I just want to keep it out of the hands of our young people. So mm-hmm. if it means enforcing the snot out of it, or maybe some not so visual metaphor, but we've got to keep it out of the hands of our kids because, I don't know how to do that. But I do know that, the things I'm hearing from some of my younger constituents and their parents is the potency is so strong today. And I think if it was regulated, we could regulate the potency so people didn't freak out from, from smoking marijuana. And so there's that issue that it would be regulated, and I think it would get the pot out of the hands of the criminals and the bad guys and put it in the hands of the good guys. And so I think the arguments are leaning towards legalization. Plus, 10 states have legalized it, and I really don't like the argument that it raises money, revenue. I don't really see that as a legitimate reason for legalizing it, but there's some other good arguments for legalizing it. So
moving on to another issue, and this has to do with legalizing the right to vote for people who have been convicted of felonies. Minnesota is just one of 22 states where felons cannot vote until they complete their post-incarceration supervision. I know Representative Ray Dean is trying to change that, especially in light of what happened in Florida during the last election cycle, where they, for the most part, legalized voting for people who have been convicted of felonies. Now, this is just me speaking, obviously, not you. I almost feel like you're still a citizen of this country, even if you've been convicted of a felony, even if you're in prison. It seems to me you should have the right to vote because you still have a stake of the game, even if you're in prison, let alone if you're out of prison. What do you think about the legalizing the right to vote for people who have been convicted of felonies and are now out of prison and have, well, for the most part, largely paid their debts to society?
I would be the first vote on the board in favor of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the women's prison last year teaching a class on civics to a bunch of convicted felons doing time in Shakopee women's prison. And every single one of those women, in my opinion, when they got out of prison, they in my opinion, they have the right to vote. Their property, they're still paying taxes on their homes. They're paying income taxes on salaries that, you know, like Social Security or whatever the taxes are that aren't based on income. There's a difference between civil rights and civil liberties. And if the state wants to deny you your civil liberties because you did wrong, they don't have the right to deny you your civil rights. And the most important civil right we have is the right to vote. And I can't imagine a nation taking away that most precious of right that so many people have died for. So I'm a pretty strong proponent on if you're on parole, you should have the right to vote.
See, and I see this issue kind of similar to immigration as well, where it falls along those left versus right voting lines, not necessarily because of the issue itself, but because, well, typically if you allow felons to vote, they're generally going to vote Democrat just because the majority of people who have been convicted of felonies are generally people of color, and generally people of color do end up voting Democrat. I feel the kind of same way about immigration as well, where, you know, if you were to have looser immigration guidelines, most of those people would probably end up voting Democrat. I just feel like there's that dynamic right there between left and right where we look at more whether it's going to benefit your own political party versus whether it's actually something that's right for society.
So, then shame on us.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, then if that your fear is that's going to happen mm-hmm. by doing the right thing, then maybe you're doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just something I found interesting with this debate, yeah, along restoring the rights for convicted felons to vote and also along that immigration issue as well. Hey, Senator Swazinski, I really want to take you
Wait, can I just say
one
quick thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know this marijuana thing with the two marijuana parties now having major party status? The historian in me is going to watch this pretty closely because if those two parties end up getting 3 or 4% of the vote, you're going to see, you know, the history of third parties, especially single plank parties like the Prohibition Party and the Abolition Party, is that one of the other two major parties eventually picks up that party's plank. And because they see, you know, success and for all the wrong reasons again, but politics being politics. And I'm anxious to see how that whole thing plays out. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
To see which party picks up that plank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that plays out, especially in light of what happened in 2018 when we had a lot of these legalized marijuana parties that seemed to have an impact on the electorate as we voted back in 2018. But hey, again, Senator Swazinski, really appreciate you calling in. I know you tried to make it here in studio, but let's be honest, there was no way you're making it here when we're getting 2 to 4 inches of snow and trying to commute from St. Paul to Eden Prairie. But do appreciate you taking the time to call in here as you're driving.
You're welcome, Brad. And you drive home safe as well, okay?
Yeah. Hopefully I don't have as slow as a commute as you do. But that is not fun commuting from
St. And for your listeners, this whole conversation, I have gone from 30, I'm on 494, and I've gone literally from 35W, and I'm underneath the 169 flyover right now.
Wow, that's been about 20 minutes worth. Wow, that is crazy outside. Yeah. Whew. All right, well, take it slow if you're going outside, including you, Senator Swazinski. Again, thanks so much for taking the time today here on AM 950.
All right. Thanks for having me, Brad.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll chat with you hopefully in the next few weeks or so. 952-946-6205 if you have any thoughts on what we were talking about earlier in the program with the State of the Union addressed and some of the guests that our Democratic representatives are bringing to the State of the Union. I actually wasn't able to find who any of our Republican representatives were bringing to the State of the Union. Tried to look that up, but didn't find anybody. But if you have any thoughts on that or what we were talking about with Senator Steve Swazinski, give us a ring here at 952-946-6205. Otherwise, on the other side of the break, Hunter and I are going to talk about conspiracy theories. That's on the way next here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with the Food Freedom Radio Report. This afternoon, the Minneapolis City Council decided to delay for 2 weeks approval of a concept plan for the Upper Harbor Terminal. The Upper Harbor Terminal is a 48-acre parcel of land with a mile of riverfront in North Minneapolis. The city and the Minneapolis Park Board want to transform this 48-acre industrial site to a combination of riverfront park and private development. But several community members and organizations oppose the concept plan, saying it it failed to create an inclusive and equitable development process. It did not meet criteria set by North and North Green Zones, Promise Zones goals, and there's no... I know, because it is a little clumsy. Yeah. Several community members and organizations opposed the current concept plan, saying it failed to create an inclusive and equitable development process. It did not meet the criteria the city set for its own green zones and promise zones, and it is not aligned with the city's climate action plan. So groups on records opposing the project include Friends of the Mississippi River, Project Sweetie Pie, Hope Community, Environmental Initiative, Sierra Club North Star, Alliance for Metropolitan Stability, Climate Generation, Minneapolis Climate Action, Environmental Initiative, and the city's own Minneapolis Community Environmental Advisory Committee. So last Sunday, there was a really cool meeting, and there were a lot of people. Everyone who spoke against the concept plan. I mean, do we want to have private development? Do we want a private hotel with a performance stadium? Or can we do something better? And so this week on Food Freedom Radio, we're going to be talking about what happened over the weekend, and we're going to talk about what could it mean to co-create in a living space. So this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio on Saturdays at 8 a.m.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Moe's has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
Hi, this is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. People often invest money in their homes for things they can see, but the most important improvement they can make is what they can't see. Insulation. If you have icicles or ice dams on your roof or moisture problems on your windows or ceilings during the winter, your home is not insulated properly. Take advantage of the rebates and incentives from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy before it's too late. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
Be an info warrior and ignore everything these Soros puppets say. Hunter, Doug, and Brett. Spread Obama, globalist, Antifa propaganda. Ignore everything you hear on the Minnesota Progressive Liberty.
That's a heck of a get we got on that liner there, Hunter.
Wow.
Alex Jones, man, is he falling off the face of the world that he actually now has been reduced to reading liners on the Minnesota Progressive Liberty. I kind of like that. I also got a comment. Alex Jones kind of sounds like the Macho Man Randy Savage. Especially when we get him on that phone connection. But that was a nice get we got there. I know he was talking to you and Eric the other day when you guys were hosting.
He's using the show as his own platform.
Isn't that awful that he's doing that same thing? Yeah, he's been deplatformed from YouTube, from Facebook, from Twitter. And now he's made his way onto the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. At least he's reading liners for us. But, man, he's telling us that we're Obama warriors and we're SJWs and we're spreading propaganda. We're part of the global elite and the New World Order. Man, all right. Well, we'll have to have a conversation there with Alex Jones on whether we want to let him keep reading those liners here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
I felt bad for him. I tossed him a bone. But
tossed Alex a bone. There.
Everyone's already mad at me about that.
Already taken some flack for that. So, going back to the State of the Union, tonight Donald Trump is going to talk about unity, but are we really going to be unified, or do we have any possibility of getting unified if people completely turn off their critical thinking and, well, believe conspiracy theories like we hear with Alex Jones? Because case in point is this. You would think this guy would be a really smart person, being a billionaire and a successful businessman, but apparently the patriarch of the family behind the Chicago Cubs has apologized after an online media outlet published emails in which he took part in racist comments and conspiracy theories about Islam being a cult and not a religion, and other conspiracy theories including President Barack Obama's birthplace and him also not having a real education. So you would think...
The greatest hits, huh?
Yeah. But this guy is the patriarch of the Chicago Cubs, and I believe the Tribune Media Company in Chicago. You would think if you make that much money, you have to be pretty smart and have good critical thinking skills, but this guy is believing in conspiracy theories, much like people who follow Alex Jones. I just don't know how people that generally come across as being pretty sharp, pretty smart, can believe in these types of conspiracy theories because I don't know about you, Hunter, but I actually have friends that listen to InfoWars, that listen to Alex Jones, that buy into these conspiracy theories. Remember Jade Helm back in the day about how Obama was going to send National Guard troops and make Walmarts into, was it immigration centers, I think?
That one's pretty good.
Yeah. Remember Jade Helm? Yeah. I just can't believe that people buy into these types of conspiracy theories when on the other side they are successful business people and generally come across as being, well, pretty acceptable in society, because usually the stereotype we get when we hear people that listen to Alex Jones or listen to InfoWars or listen to Laura Loomer or name your conspiracy theorist, generally we think of them as being, you know, your guy who lives in your mother's basement, has that tinfoil hat, doesn't have a job, but generally, that doesn't seem to be the case with people that follow these types of conspiracy theories. So as we were talking about with Alex Jones, at least they're starting to deplatform some of these guys like him. Laura Loomer, I know, has also been deplatformed. But that's really going to hurt them in the aspect of that they really sell a lot of these supplements and weird products that are supposed to enhance your brain, enhance your physical health. And I was thinking, Hunter, we got to develop our line of enhancement products. I was thinking, well, I know we talked, I think, last fall about that Hunter Haas muscle milk. I'm working on my Brett Johnson brain gain cereal.
And high tea, Boston Tea Party tea. High testosterone tea party there, tea.
Is that going to be Doug Padgett or Eric Nelson that's going to be
They're both pretty high tea individuals.
Okay, so you're going to say both of those. So, yeah, there you go, because as we've brought up, it's been Alex Jones that has really endorsed a lot of these weird supplemental products, and that's actually how they make their money, not so much on those platforms like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, among others. But, yeah, I just can't believe that people believe in those types of conspiracy theories, despite the fact that they generally come off as being, well, pretty normal when you run into them in society. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Before we wrap up the show, let's go ahead and get to our buddy Gary in Minneapolis. Hey there, Gary, what's on your mind?
Oh, hello, guy. Hey, the First Lady tonight is going to educate us on a subject which she is an expert and knows a lot about. That's bullying, since she's married to the bully-in-chief. And I got some advice for Trump and his fellow authoritarians, and it's good advice for all of us. It's a quote that Hubert Humphrey once said, "Treat someone like a dog and expect to get bitten."
That's a good quote there, Gary. Hey, thanks so much for the call today. Unfortunately, we are out of time to get a joke as we, your joke of the day, I should say, as we get to the end of the show here on AM 950. Tune in tomorrow. Doug Padgett's back in.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at AM950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.